By way of Hakdama, tonight I would like to talk about two topics. One is Tanya Sester, which has always been a very intriguing Tainus, markedly different than other Tanios, than the other classic Tanios that we are familiar with. As a matter of fact, those of us who are familiar with the Makoros know that Tainus Esther, to a large extent, is shrouded in mystery. It is a cryptic, mysterious kind of Tainus, the subject of the big machlokes among the Rishonim, what the source of this Tainus is. It's not mentioned by the Novi Zecharia, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara actually lays out, based on Psukim Zecharia, which is in front of you, you will notice the Psukim that the Navi Zecharia references the classic Tanios that we are very familiar with, namely the Tanios, of course, that are mentioned in Tanakh, those that are found in Divrei Kabbalah. That's found on page number 12 of the handout. You'll take a look in the Psukim in Zecharia. The Navi comments already and speaks about speaks about four classic fast days, four classic Tanios. Nisan generally is the month that we begin counting from, as the Ramban writes in Chumash and Parshas Bo. So therefore, if we start counting from Nisan, we have the fourth tzom, which is Tammuz, and then we have the fifth tzom, which is Av, Tisha B'Av, the first of Shavuos of Tammuz, then Tisha B'Av, then we have Tzom HaShvi'i, and we have Tzom HaAsiri. And again, they relate to the tzomos that follow upon the heels of Chodesh Nisan. Tishrei is the Tzom HaShvi'i, and Tzom HaAsiri as well. That's well known. So there's one Tainus that's not mentioned here, and that's Tainus Esther. So right away we see that the nature of Tainus Esther is markedly different than the other Tanios. That's just by way of generally overviewing the Tainus. You'll notice on page number one of the handout in Tofresh Pei Vav, the Mechaber, when he speaks about Chanukah and Purim, he tells us that you're allowed to be Mis'aneh Lifneim or Lachareim, and Halacha Beis, the Ramah says, he speaks of Tainus Esther, and the Ramah says, Tainus Zu Eino Chova. This is not an obligatory kind of Tainus. Lachen Yesh Lachokobo Leis HaTzorech. There's room to be lenient if necessary. Kigon Mubaros or Minikos or Chol HaShem HaSakona. Women who are expecting or women who are nursing or Chol HaShem HaSakona. Afilu Rakoa Ve'inayim, someone who is having pain with his eyes. Shemitzarim Habil or Yisanu. He does not have to fast. This, of course, is a massive kula. And this kula is not necessarily applicable to all the other four Tanios that I mentioned by the Navi Zecharia. So again, we see something about Tanis Esther is markedly different than the other Tanios. Tanis Esther is not mentioned in the Mishnah. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. The first time it's mentioned is really by the Gaonim. And it would seem that this particular Tainus, offhand, we would assume that the source of the Tainus are the Psukim that we are familiar with. Namely, the Psukim in Megillas Esther. We know that Mordechai tells Esther, Al tidami benafshech libanei beis hamelech mikol ha-Yehudim, and indicates to her that ki im hachareish tachrishi beis hazos, if you're quiet at this point in time, then you are the Shliach HaKel, you are the messenger of Hashem Yisbarach, you've been deputized, you've been put into this position of aristocracy, the queen, for one reason, to save Klal Yisrael. It's just a means to an end. It's a hechatimtza. And therefore, on page number 11, you'll see the psukim that are quoted that would seemingly be the source for this tainus that we are talking about. Namely, Vatom Esther Lahashiva Mordechai, Lech Kenosis Kola Yudim Anim Tzim B'Shushan. She indicates, let's gather all the Jews, Anim Tzim B'Shushan, B'Tzumu Alai. The Ritzom that she declared, B'Al Tochlu B'Al Tishlo Shosh Yom Laila B'Yom. 3 days. 3 days and three nights. Gamani ben Arasai Yatsum Kain, Vachain Avar, Lamelach Hashalach Hados, Vachashir Avadati, Avadati, Vayavar, Mordechai. And the Gemara says in Megillah, and Rashi quotes it on the spot, and Megillah says there that they fasted for 3 days. When? In Chodesh Nisan. They fasted on Yom Tov, they fasted on Pesach. Normally, a fast on Yom Tov is an Isa Daraisa. There's a mitzvah of Sarachta Bechagecha. But here, because of the exigency of the moment, they had no choice. They fasted in the Chodesh Nisan because the Gzeras of Haman were obviously concretized in that month. Chazal, the Dori Doros, decided that the Tainis should be Nikva, Yud Gimel Adar. They wanted to juxtapose the Tainis of Esther to the Yontav of Purim. And that's how many Rishonim bring, the Shibal Alekia, the Machzavitchi, called the name of Rashi, that the Tainis was Niskan Zecher L'Sholshes Yimei Atzom B'Yimei Esther. And this is the Makar, according to many Rishonim. As a matter of fact, if you look in page number one, in Halacha Gimel, on top page Pevav, the Mechaber quotes an opinion, Yesh Misani Gimel Yomim Zecher L'Tainis Esther. There is a Makar to fast actually for 3 days. However, Rav HaRishonim give a different time for Tainis Esther. The 13th day of Adar is the day before Purim. And in effect, Yud Gimel Ba'Adar is the day that Haman HaRasha, Ola B'Gorolo, the lot that Haman HaRasha cast, Lahashmi Laru Galabi is called Yudi Menav Yad Zokeh. Now that day, Ahasuerus gave his Gushpanka, gave the imprimatur to go ahead and that Klal Yisrael actually had the Rishus Lahinoke Me'ayveyem. That's the pasuk again. That's found in Megillah, in Paraches, Tzukim Yud Alf and Yud Beis, and there was a milchama between the Jews and their enemies, and this milchama is also described in the Megillah, in Paraches, Pasuk Aleph. You see the description of that milchama that took place. And in effect, what happened as a result of that milchama, as we know, is that Chas V'Shol, we were in grave danger of, God forbid, being completely destroyed. But Chaz de Hashem, and we're able to prevail over our enemies. And that Tainis Esther, Yud Gimel Adar, is a Zecher, L'Tanisom Shel Yehudim Ba'osa Yom. It was a Yom Milchama during the days of Ahasuerus. And that's quoted by the Rosh in Megillah, a very famous comment of Rabbi Natan that the Rosh actually cites in the very beginning of Masechet Megillah. It's found on page number 6 in the handout that you have in front of you. Take a look there. The Rosh essentially does not accept the position that's mentioned by others. Rashi actually comments, Rashi in Masechet Megillah, the Rosh quotes it as well, when the Gemara says, Yud Gimel Zman Kilu Lakolhi. So Rashi says, Shenikalu Laman Al Nafsham. And in effect, Rashi indicates, Lihi Nokem, that was the function of that particular day. I mean, the Tam writes, he elaborates on this point. If you look in the middle of page number 6, in the Rosh, Pirush Rabbi Natan, Zman Kilu Lakolhi, Shakol Misasim Latayn Sester. That's already the Mishnah on page, the very beginning here. Their Mishnah actually in Masechet Megillah tells us that the Megillah can be read Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav, Lo Pachos, Lo Yosef, and tells us that the Kfarim, that in effect they were Makdim Liyom HaKenisa. As Rashi explains over there, the reason why they were Makdim Liyom HaKenisa, because since the Mukafim, the walled cities read on Tesvav, and the non-walled cities read on Yud Aleph, so now the question is, where do you find the other 3 days that I mentioned by the Mishnah, the Abbezim and Alv, Yud Alv, Yud Bez, Yud Gimel? And the answer is, Chazal gave permission for the Kfarim to be Makdim, to move up their Kriyas HaMegillah to Monday and Thursday. Those are the market days. So those are the days where the Batei Nidim actually convene. But the market days where they came actually to purchase, or they came to Batei Nidim for their Dinei Torah, and that's Takon of Ezra. And since they didn't have the competence to read the Megillah on their own, someone else has to read it for them. So therefore, Chazal did not want to impose upon them unduly. And therefore, that we have to come on Yud Aleph again. Sometimes Yom HaKenisa is Yud Gimel, sometimes it's on Yud Aleph. So here, the Rosh quoting Rabbi Natan cites that when the Bnei Akfarim came to the big cities to say Slichus HaTachnunim, that was the day Tainis Esther. They gathered to daven to Hashem. V'chem Hatzidu B'Moshe, Sh'asa Tainis, Moshe Rabbeinu also, the psukim at the end of B'Shalach tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he fought against Amalek, there was a tainis. Moshe Aaron Mechul Ola Rosh Hagiva, and the Gemara says in tainis, Mikan the tainis Yibush Yitzorach Shalosha, Mikan Nil Abin Atam. This is the support for Tainis Esther. That just like they did in the days of Mordechai Esther, when the Jews gathered to defend themselves, and we don't have any other makor except this. This is the source for this concept of tainis, and therefore we have a machlokus among the Rishonim, essentially, what exactly the source for tainis Esther is. But as I mentioned, there's no makor for it, neither in Mishnayos or in the Gemara, nor is it found in Tanakh, in the classic section of Zechariah Novi, where the Novi lays out the Dalet Taniyos, lays out the four Taniyos. And in general, when a tainis Siva falls in on Shabbos, it's always Nidcha the Yom Rishon after Shabbos. And that's the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. It's also found here in the Maran Mekomos. And Mishnah points out that, generally speaking, we always try to avoid Puranus. We try to keep away from Puranus. And therefore, Agdume Puranisa lo mekadmina, that's the Lashon of the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. We try to avoid Puranus to the extent that we can. That's mentioned in the Sugya Daf Hei, page number 5 over here. And then Mishnah tells you that Tisha B'Av, again, we adoche Tisha B'Av, because we try not to bring it earlier. We try to avoid any kind of Puranus, any kind of calamity, any kind of a day associated with punishment. So therefore, a Titan Siva that falls out on Shabbos is deferred to Sunday after Shabbos. So Tisha B'Av, for example, falls out on Shabbos. We fast the following day on Yud Av, but Tanis Esther is an exception to the rule. Again, Tanis Esther that falls out on Shabbos, we are makdim liyom chamish shel nei Shabbos. Here we go ahead and fast on Thursday before Shabbos. So all of the above clearly indicate the earlier items that I mentioned, and this item as well, and there are also many others, that it's clear that the nature of Tanis Esther is markedly different than the other Taniyos, that Asar B'Teves, that Shavas B'Tamas, and Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia. Those four Taniyos, the Navi says in Zecharia, were established as a Zman or Puranus that occurred to Klal Yisrael. They're all connected to the Churban HaMikdash. And therefore, since Ein Magdim and Puranus, since we don't like to bring on calamity, so in those cases, as I mentioned, when they fall out on Shabbos, we're going to defer them to Sunday. However, Tanis Esther was not established based on a calamity that occurred, but rather as a zikaron for the Taniyos that were mentioned, that were promulgated in the days of the Gzeras Haman, as part of the mitzvah of Pirsa Manes. And therefore, we have to mention that Hashem accepted our tefillos of Klal Yisrael, and as a result, we were zoche to the Yeshua of Purim. So it's a hakdama to the Simcha of Purim, and therefore, one could go ahead and be makdim this particular Tainis, and it's markedly different than the other Taniyos. This is already mentioned by Rishonim. It's found in the Sefer HaEshkol. It's found by the Ravid. Rishonim indicate they call it a Tainis of Simcha, as opposed to the other Taniyos, that Taniyos of Avelos, that have to do with the Churban HaMikdash, and this Tainis clearly is of a markedly different nature. It's part of the mitzvah Pirsum Anes associated with Purim, and this is, as I said, exclusively mentioned by the Ravid. The Ran quotes in Maseches Tainis in Daf Zayin. He actually quotes his Ravid, that the Ravid actually says the following. I'll just read part of his language. Yud Gimel Ba'adar en adome l'shar Taniyos. You cannot compare Tanis Esther to the other fast days. The Zikaron hu l'nes shenasebo. It's a remembrance of the nest that occurred. And furthermore, there's a smach. There's a basis in the pasuk. And this pasuk actually is found over here in the handout as well. If you take a look in the handout, in Megillas Esther, there's a pasuk that needs a lot of very careful examination, which we don't have time to do in the course of this year. But you take a look on page number 10, you'll see this pasuk. The pasuk says at the end of the Megillah, on page number 10, pasuk chavtes, "Vatichtov Esther hamalko bas Avichayil borcha Yehudias kol tokev v'kayem esigeres apurim azos hashenis." "Vayishlach svarim l'kol Yehudim," they sent this communication to all Jews, 127 provinces, "divrei shalom v'emes." Then we have the following pasuk: "L'kayem esimei apurim ha'elev ezmanehem." We want to affirm, we want to establish, we want to concretize the days of Purim. "Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai Yehudi v'Esther Amalka, v'kasher kiyimu al nafshom v'al zarom divrei hatzomos v'zaakosom." Those last three words in this pasuk are very striking. The days of Purim are affirmed, the days of Purim are concretized, similar to what Mordechai and Esther had done regarding divrei hatzomos v'zaakosom. So the Ravid says, just as we accepted upon ourselves the Yom Tov of Purim, that's the Gemara Megillah as well, that Esther had two requests of the Chacham, and one request was that Purim should be established as a Yom Tov, and Chazal equivocated, didn't know what to do, to establish it, not to establish it, yesh panu mekanu lekan. Similarly, the question, of course, of not just establishing Yom Tov as a Purim, but Megillah's Esther should be included in the corpus of Tanakh. It should be canonized in Kisri HaKodesh, another discussion that the Gemara has. So this pasuk seems to tell us that there's an equation between the Yom Tov of Purim and the Tainis that we observe on a yearly basis. And the Ravid brings a raya from these psukim that the Navi mentions over here, Mordechai and Esther were koveh yomei Purim, and they were koveh to remember divrei hatzomos b'zaakosam. So if The Chachamim had wanted to establish a tainus of Esther as a zechah for a calamity and sakana that hovered over Klal Yisrael in the days of Achashverosh. They should have, in effect, done this in Chodesh Nisan, because that's the moment that the Peronis occurred. The Gzera of Haman was Nechtam Yud Gimel Nisan. And here we have, in effect, 3 days later, Haman, of course, is hung. And Chav Gimel Sivan, the Svarim already were Mevatla, the Gzeras of Haman, the Kviya of Tanis Esther, and Yud Gimel Adar shows us and accentuates to us the fact that this Tanis is part of the Chagig of Purim. It's connected to the Yom Tov of Purim itself. And the whole Tachlis apparently is to be Mashlim, the Simcha of Purim. And therefore, it's very fascinating that normally there's a din when it comes to, this is another Ha'ara that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often pointed out, there's halacha in Tainis in general, and this is found actually in a famous discussion in the Rambam. The Rambam points out that on a Yom HaTainis, we're talking about the classic Tanios that I just mentioned, there's no question they want us to behave in a solemn, serious kind of way. And that's reflected on page number 9. The Rambam Paschal Hilchos Tanias in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudalid. The Rambam says, number 9, Kol Asharu B'Tanias, Ben Shoyim Misan El Tzarosu Al Chalomo, someone who's ensconced in a fast day, whether he's fasting because of a tzara, or because he has a dream, a chalom, Ben Shoyim Misan Im Atzibu Al Tzarosu, whether he's part of the Klal Yisrael, Hareza Lo'ino Giduna Ba'atzmo. Once you're not on that day, engage in all kinds of what seem to be idunim. Idunim means one should not enjoy oneself. One should not excessively engage in all types of enjoyment that would not be necessarily something that's required. Below Yokel Rosha, below Yesamech v'Tov Lev. That day that Klal Yisrael declare a tainis should not be a day of simcha. Eladoig v'onein kinyan shenema meisonu adam chai gever al chataov. So it means there's an isur of bedichas hadas, or there's an issue of gilu simcha, of overt kind of joy that one normally would demonstrate on a regular basis, which, of course, there's a mitzvah lios besimcha tamid, even though I don't know any makar for that statement as well, but whatever the case is, that's a well-known nigin and a well-known statement, and it's a true, something which is unquestionably is correct. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Lulav that there's an avoda gedola to be besimcha. So maybe that's the makar. Tachas asher avatas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv lev merov kol. That's the makar. But this particular phrase, lios b'simcha tomei, there's no makar for that bichlal. Whatever the case is, it's a breslov thing, which is a nice thing, and it's a good thing for all of us to be b'simcha. You don't have to be mechassid breslov to be b'simcha. You could be a Litvak, you could be a Temani, you could be a Sfardi, you could be an Ashkenazi. Whatever particular ashkova you have, you should always be b'simcha. That's a good thing. If there's Hashem b'simcha, this doesn't say tomei. That word tomei is the classic, very fascinating word. And if anyone could show me a mocker for this, I'll appreciate that very much. I've been looking for decades. Whatever the case is, you have a clear din in Shulchan Aruch and clear din in Rambam that on a regular tainis, there's an Isra of Bedichus Hadas, or Gilu Simcha. That ostensibly does not apply to Tanis Esther. So again, among the many, many halachas that we see Tanis Esther is markedly different. It's a tainis of Simcha and not a tainis of Avelos. And clearly it's markedly contrasted with all the other Taniyos that we mentioned that found in the Pasuk in Zechariah. And it's the least chomer of all the Taniyos. So someone who's very mitzvah, as we began the shiur with, someone who's in a lot of tzar, unquestionably doesn't have to fast. And that shows you the nature of Tanis Esther. It was not nikva as a zechel of Peronis, but as a chelik of the Chagigas of Purim. And we know the Rambam as well in Hilchos Taniyos and Perakei Halacha Yates. And this is based on the Psukim in the Megillah Esther. So the Rambam passes Alocha that kol atzomos elu asidun libotu lemos haMashiach. That all the tzomos, all the fast days are going to be rendered null and void. Alavai b'ezah Hashem, that should be soon lemos haMashiach. However, the Rambam also indicates that afal b'shekol zikaron atzoros yibotu yimei apurim lo yibotu. And that's based on the pasuk that I just mentioned, that in effect, you may have Purim lo yibatlo. And the Rambam, according to the Brisk Lav, that's what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, the name of his uncle, you may have Purim lo yibatlo refers to Tainis Esther as well. Because Tainis Esther is a chelik of the Simcha Purim, that also will not become batlo, limos HaMashiach. That's what the Brisk Lav is mechadish in the language of the Rambam. You may have Purim ve'elu lo yibatlo. So going back to the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, that the Gemara says in the very beginning, Zman Kilo Lakolhi. The Gemara is talking about the days that the Megillah is read from Yud Aleph Adar, from the 11th of Adar till Tesvav. And the Gemara brings a number of sources that you can read in the Megillah on all these days. And the Gemara indicates that Zman Kiru Lakov, it's a time of gathering. When Klal Yisrael gathered together, and again, Rashi said over there, Zman Kihila Lakov, that we gathered Lihinokim Eivayim. But the Rosh quoted the Rabbi Natan that we just saw, that Zman Kihila Lakov, Tainis Esther, and even the Bnei Kfarim, the villages came actually to say Slichos and Tachnunim. So since all are gathered for the purpose of Slichos, Tachnunim, Tainis Esther, this is the time which is very apropos for Kriyas HaMegillah. Again, if the Tainis Esther were founded upon a Tzara, on calamity, founded upon Peronis, founded upon punishment, then Rabbi Natan is very difficult to understand. What's the connection between the Hitkalut of Slichas and Tachnunim and the Kriyas HaMegillah? But if Tainis Esther is part of the Chagig of Purim, then we understand Rabbi Natan very well. Yud Gimel Ba'adar, every year, we gather for Slichas and Tachnunim as a chelik of the Pirsum Anes of Purim, and therefore there's no need for a separate source to be matter the Kriyas HaMegillah on that particular day. So, more or less, we've just overviewed somewhat the sources for the Tainis Esther, the basis actually for the Tainis, why we fast. And now perhaps we'll just maybe a little bit more from a philosophic perspective. Rav Soloveitchik actually underscored the distinctions between the Tainis Esther, but it's already mentioned by many, many poskim. I quoted from the Sefer HaEshkol, that this is a tainus of simcha, as opposed to being a tainus having to do with the Churban HaMikdash, a tainus of calamity, a tainus of peronus. And this does not seem to have that element. It's related to triumph and salvation. We know that Haman HaRasha wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, the Hashemid La'arig Al-Abed, Skola Yehudim Minav Yadzokim, Tafen Noshe B'Yom Echad, and the Rebbe Shalom and his kindness, in his magnanimity. There were so many nisim that occurred, even though the Ibn Ezra writes in the Akdama to Megillah Sesed, there's no Shem Hashem. It's completely benista, the Gemara Chulin, Esther ben Ator Minayin Shenema, Vanochi Haster Aster Ponai, Bayom Ahu. The entire Megillah is framed in is couched with a framework of Hester Ponim. And there's so many miracles, the fact that Ahasuerus extended the scepter to Esther, the fact that Ahasuerus agreed to attend the party, not one party, a second party, the fact that Achashverosh was a melech hafachach, the Gemara says in Megillah, he was topsy-turvy. He was not operating with a full deck. He didn't remember that he signed the edict. Only later he remembered when Esther tells him, "Ve'ilu la'avodim v'leshvachos imkarnu hecharashti, ki ein atzar shove v'nezik ha-melech," he should have responded, "But I signed the decree. I signed that edict to destroy and exterminate the Jewish people. And it's too bad, because when a king signs the decree and puts his tabat to it, but then when he heard about the decree, he himself was not aware that he was the one responsible for everything. And Chazal say, that removal of the signet ring had a greater impact on Klal Yisrael than all the Nevi'im and Nevi'os that prophesied for the Jewish people. And again, when Esther introduces Mordechai to the scene, and Mordechai appears on the scene, but then ultimately Esther is the one who seems to take over. That's probably why the Megillah is called Megillah Esther, not Megillah Mordechai, even though Mordechai was the initiator. But Esther subsequently, in her wily feminine kind of way, she was able to somehow take over the command, and as a result it's called Megillah Esther, not Megillah Mordechai. But in effect, what we have over here in this Megillah, we have many, many nisim nistorim that take place, as I said, in the context of a Hester Ponim, where Hashem is brought, does not appear to be on the scene. And the nature of Purim also is something which is markedly different. The Yom Tov is so markedly different than every other Yom Tov, where you actually are almost, in some respects, completely flummoxed and totally confused and confounded by the Yom Tov of Purim. We know that every Yom Tov involves rejoicing, v'samachta v'chagecha, one's supposed to be v'simcha, but it doesn't consist exclusively of merrymaking or just being in a good mood the entire day. It also consists of whatever the machlokes the Gemara has in Pesachim, on Samaches, machlokes Tanoim, Chetz Shel Hashem, Chetz Shel Lachem. That's how we paskin. We paskin that we dedicate half the day to Hashem Yisbarach and half the day to ourselves. And undoubtedly, part of Yom Tov and part of Shabbos, for that matter, is the obligation of Limud HaTorah. Simchas Yom Tov cannot be achieved without Limud HaTorah. Yom Tov afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, there's always a drasha, the chacham, a combination of physical pleasure and also rejoicing. But part of it is certainly limud haTorah, part of it is tefillah. And on Purim, somehow, the Gemara says over there, M'sochim, akol modim, that Purim requires lachem, only lachem. Purim is kula lachem. And many, many people actually, they actually get drunk. And that's one of the mitzvahs that people think is the most important mitzvah in the Torah. It's not a Torah, the mitzvah, but that's somehow, chayav adam, libsumi bipuraya ad lo yada berahom, the baruch Mordechai became the most important mitzvah in Tayag mitzvahs. At best, it's a da'abonon. And it's true that Rashi says, lehishtaker, biyayin. But the Gemara says, libsume, and the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Rambam, and this is what my practice is, I drink yosef mechdei limudo, a bit more than what I'm accustomed to. So since I'm a teetotaler, I don't drink bichlal, so therefore I drink literally, usually a milliliter of what they call yayin kal, which Balabata Bavad used to call reita vasa, red water. A bit of tzeva added to the water, and then I go to sleep. I'm a kind of mitzvah lo yada, and go on my merry way. But it's the only day that Chazal looked upon drunkenness with a friendly eye. And that's not common for Klal Yisrael, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Be'alocha, a very famous Be'alocha, quotes from Meiri and many other Gedolei Achronim, that one should not become so drunk that, in effect, one will not daven mincha, one won't bench properly, one will daven ma'ariv. But this is amazing that there's such a concept of Ad Lo Yoda, Be'nar Haman, LeBaruch Mordechai. On Yom Tov, it's also the Hishtake. There's no mitzvah whatsoever. It's probably also Kach Shabbati, Rabbah, and Talarich, Zatzal. And people think there's also a mitzvah on Purim night to get drunk. He said that's also. It's an Isa Da'isa. It's against Kedoshim Tiyu. It's against, the Gemara says, the Mishnah, you made Mishnah v'simcha k'siv, so that's Purim Shasa Balayla, Yotzer Dechavasa, Shanema, you made Mishnah v'simcha k'siv. It's a Gemara. It would be kedai for people to study the Gemara Megillah very carefully, backwards and forwards, Rashi and Tesis with the Rishonim and the Halacha, and know this din, and know that there's no mitzvah l'hishtaker, and to become ois mensch. There's no such Halacha. Shichus is never mentioned on Yom Tov, because spirit, Simchas Yom Tov is more of a spiritual kind of joy. And therefore, Tefillah and Talmud Torah are integrally related and connected to that spiritual kind of joy. But Purim, we know, is a simcha, a physical kind of joy. And Chazal actually established it. So our Soloveitchik suggested, for this reason, we have a Tainus Esther that's juxtaposed to Purim. That's the basis for that Tainus. Because on Yom Tov, when we have the mitzvah of simcha, let's say Sukkot is mentioned many times, v'samachta l'Hashem Elokecha, and v'yisach sameach, and v'samachta b'chagecha, and all the ma'adim ahukshu to the Yom Tov of Sukkot regarding the mitzvah of simcha, they're all compared. So we don't, in effect, try to interfere with that simcha. It's an exalting experience. The greater the joy, the more exalted the individual, the more great Talmid Chacham used to entertain the people. The simcha Beis HaShoeva, Yerushalayim, was a city of great Talmid Chacham, of Nevi'im, of visionaries. But unquestionably, part of that simcha, as I said, is tefillah and Talmud Torah. However, on Purim, it's markedly different. And here, therefore, there's a need to go and temper the Yom Tov of Purim with Tanis Esther that precedes it. That's what our Soloveitchik explained. The Rav used to call, he has a maser in his family, that the Vilna Gaon literally would eat and drink the entire day of Purim. But the moment Shkia appeared, he pushed away the bottle and picked up the Gemara's Vachem Kilim, nothing happened. Only the Gaon was capable of doing such a miracle, such a meifes. It was about meifes, obviously. Capable of drinking the entire day, and then suddenly at Shkia, was able to simply pick up the Gemara, till nothing had happened prior to that. And there's a well-known issue, namely Purim Shechal B'Yer Shabbos, like this year. I hope to talk about it, Mitzvah Hashem, in a separate shir. Said the Suda is eaten by day, the Ramah said before Chatzais, and the Yerushalmi writes, you can't mingle the two Sudos. Zeh Sudasa B'Dei Shamayim, Zeh Sudasa B'Dei Adam. Namely, the Suda of Purim is a Suda, in effect, which is B'Dei Adam, the host star, Mordechai V'Esther. Mashekin, the Suda of Shabbos, that's a Suda of B'dei Shamayim. There, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in effect, is celebrating the creation, namely by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by Chul HaShamayim, Baruch Zichol Tzvam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the host of that Suda. Therefore, the two cannot commingle, cannot come together. There is a day, of course, the Purim Mapa Mekadesh, people are quite familiar with it. All Marabayim were opposed to it, unquestionably. And the Rav HaPaskim are opposed to it as well, and I don't recommend it b'chlal, unless one is in a Shas HaTchak situation. So Suda Shabbos has menucha, has kavod, has oneg. There's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos per se, even though there is a sifrei, uv'yom simchaschem zehu ha-Shabbos, but L'chor l'fiyah niyos daiti. There's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Tesek Subas talks about it also. Mashiach and Yom Tov is a mitzvah of simcha. Shabbos is din reineg and kovid and the like. So therefore, there's a need to temper this particular chag. And how is it tempered? That it should not lead to Rachman Litzan vulgarity. It shouldn't lead to behavior which is absolutely inappropriate, to drunkenness, to people becoming inebriated and losing control. Soloveitchik once commented, he said something which was very, very striking. He himself lived in Berlin for a fair number of years. And so he said the difference between a German drunkard and a French drunkard is the following, that usually a German who becomes drunk, he's reduced to silence. And all of a sudden he's quiet. It's like the German silencer that we are familiar with. A Frenchman becomes drunk, he's simply out of control. He is noisy. He is full of revelry. So which one do we have to look out for? The answer is that silent drunkard, because he is someone that you never know when he's going to pounce upon you when you're not ready. And he referred to experiences that took place, Rachman Litzan, during the Shoah, Nazi Germany. So one day a year, we permitted actually a kind of drunkenness. But again, Nichnas Yayin Yotzei Sod, perhaps I'll talk about this separately as well, that what should emerge actually is Sod. Many times I've been zeicha to be by Agoin, or I've never sold Shlit on Purim, that is Tezvav. I celebrate Purim in Beit Shemesh, Ramah Beit Shemesh, and Yudalud. And then I went to Rabbi Nevinsol at Tezvav, and he told me, David, and the other called himself Shum Shelot Ayom. I can't pass in Shelos. I drank Revius of Yayin. So he said, okay, doesn't have to pass in Shelos. I'll ask him questions in other areas without asking him Halacha Lamaise. And usually on the spot, he will put together Gramin, and he sings them himself. And the Gramin consists of poetry from the entire Tanakh and all Shas. Basically, that's how he puts Gramin together, right on the spot. And amazing that his Koach HaChiddush just emerges, Nichnas Yayin Yotzei Sod, Sod Hashem Nireyov. So that should be the proper attitude. It's fascinating that in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, it's also discussed by Tosfos here in Megillah, and you have it in front of you, this Tosfos Megillah. Tosfos has a very, very beautiful discussion. This actually is found in the Gemara. Also, and Daven Megillah, page number 4, the Gemara tells us about the obligation to read the Megillah both at nighttime and during the day. The Gemara quotes 2 sets of psukim, which seemingly are not necessarily in sync one with the other. One pasuk refers to the famous pasuk in Tilim Chabez that was recited by Esther on her way to the throne room of Achashverosh, Shalamatzech, Aliyah, Tashachar, Elokai, Yekroa, Yomom, Belosane, Belayla, Lodomirli. A very haunting, very despondent kind of pasuk. On the other hand, the Gemara says the second makar is so the question is, what is the nature of Purim? Is Purim a day of sadness, of melancholia, of despondency, or is Purim a day of great joy? And of course, the answer is, in classic brisk fashion, Tzvei Dinim. Both of these elements are embedded somehow in Purim. It has an elements of tzara and also elements of great Yeshua and great joy. So the Tesis here on page number 4, the Avdala Manal, cites a discussion already found in Tshuvas HaGoyim, where the Lamatzeach is going to be said on Purim, namely Lamatzeach that we say every morning, Yancha Hashem Be'yeh Tzara. We don't paskin like that. We don't say Lamatzeach. Some Gonim said Yamatzeach, but others contain Encha Yom Tzara Kippurim. Purim was destined to be a day of great disaster, and Ribbono Shalom in his kindness and his great chesed transformed the day into a day of joy, a day of victory, made possible by the Tanios of Esther. So Purim, in effect, and Yom Mishnah V'Simcha have to be prefaced, have to be preceded by a tainus that is the antithesis of it. And there's a need to call that tainus in order to temper the nature of that day, somehow give it, if you will, a more balanced kind of approach and a more balanced kind of position. I want to also, in the course of this year, discuss another very significant element, and perhaps we'll just briefly do so and comment on this element as well, and that is the element of Zeicher L'Machzis HaShekel. The Shulchan Aruch mentions over here, you'll find the last 2 pages of the Mishnah Berurah, that there's a din of Machzis HaShekel, which is actually a din min HaTorah. That's how the Rambam quotes in Sefer HaMitzvos and Asei Kufayin Aleph. The function of that was to really essentially finance the Korban of Sibur, and we are Machzis Rosh Chodesh Adar, that's a Mishnah. In order that the Shkolim should come to the Beis HaMikdash before Chodesh Nisan, and as the Gemara says in Megillah, we want to be Makdim Ashkolim to the Shkolim of Haman. So since the Machzor Shekel was designed to finance the Karbanos of the Beis Hamikdash, the mitzvah says the Rambam is only relevant bisman she Beis Hamikdash kayim. Once the Beis Hamikdash was charev, once it was rendered null and void, we give a zecher of the Machzor Shekel of tzedakah, and that's how we more or less preserve the spirit of this mitzvah. And this is mentioned actually by the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch. You have it in front of you on the last two pages in Tafreis Tzadik Dalet Sif Aleph. Yesh Omrim Sheish Liten Kodim Purim Machzis Men Amabeah Kavua Bosa Mokem Bosa Zman. That we give actually half of the matbea, whatever currency is established at that point, at that time, zech lemachzor shekel sheyinosnin ba'adar. This din, or this concept of zech lemachzor shekel, is not found in the Rambam, in the Tur, in the Shulchan Aruch. Sfaradim also have a minute to give zech lemachzor shekel, as mentioned by the Kaf HaChaim. And in effect, this idea of machzor shekel, so we give it actually, Klal Yisrael together are giving tzedakah. And in effect, it does create a certain kind of achdus, unquestionably, a certain kind of unity on the part of Klal Yisrael. And this is a very well-known practice. Now, the shir actually for this minog, as I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch already speaks about in Yerodei, actually, in Shin Hei, Sif Aleph. So there we speak about Kesef Tohor, which weighs actually 9.6 grams of silver. And the Rambam actually in Pirush HaMishnayos and Shkolim tells us that you have to be makbid on matbea machzis. And whatever, I'm not getting into the details of all this, but the Ashkenazim, that's what we are accustomed to doing, to give chatzime on matbea hanog bosom mokom. And this is, as I said, people generally give three machzios. That's how the Rambam writes, and according to the Vilna Gaon, he says that you only give matbea machzis echot bilvad. But that's not the prevailing custom. The prevailing custom is to give three matbeos, or three chatzoy shkolim in Eretz Yisrael anyway, and therefore that's the practice of zecher lemachzor shekel. Now the Masechet Sofri mentions, this is also quoted by the Poskim at great length, that you're not allowed to say about this money that's being given to say l'shem kofer. That's how the Gaonim write actually, that you have to say that the money, in effect, it should not be articulated as being given the shame machzor shekel, because otherwise it becomes hegdish. You won't be able to have hanor from it. But many people, what they do is they say b'shas nesina zecher lemachzor shekel. That's what they generally are accustomed to do. And again, that nesina is obviously for the purpose of tzedakah. In terms of who should give the machzor shekel, so the Torah tells us it applies b'ben esrim shana v'mala yitein tumas Hashem. That's what the Batanura writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and therefore many assume it's from the age of 20 and up. That's how the Rambam paskins. However, other Rishonim disagree, and therefore the minhag is even to give on behalf of one's young children, and even for a wife who's expecting, for her child that she's expecting. And even though women are not chayiv machzor shekel, the minhag is that women also give zech lemachzor shekel. That's mentioned by the Kaf HaChaim. So here we have on Yigimu Ba'adar, Samach Lemincha, there's a practice to give zecher lemachzor shekel. The Ashkenazim, as I said, give three chatzoy matbea shebosim medina. In Eretz Yisrael, the meaning is to give three chatzi shekels. And Sfaradim, actually, what they do is they give actually the amount, which is equal to 10 grams of silver. I believe today someone told me it's about 17.5 shekel. But certainly, that's what one should do. That's a proper thing to do. And so we have a number of, essentially, besikum, what we discussed in the course of this year, were two elements or two different concepts. One is the concept, the notion of Tanis Esther and the sources for the Tanis Esther. And the nature of the Tanis is markedly different than other Tanios, as I pointed out, because this Tanis is a Tanis of Simcha, as opposed to all the other Tanios that are primarily based on Puranus, based on Calamity, based on Osam, based on the Chubin Amigdash. You'll take a look at the Lashon HaRambam, which is also in front of you over here, on the part that I Xerox. The Rambam, when he speaks about, for example, he talks about Yesh Yomim Sheyisov Mesanamem Ne'atzaros, that there are days that Klal Yisrael fast because of the Saros, and the Rambam refers to Tzom Gedalia and Tisha B'Av, V'chula V'chula, all these other Saros that obviously are connected to the Chubin Amigdash. And that's certainly the foundation for all of the Taniels. But the nature of Tanis Esther, and you look at the language of the Rambam, very striking Rambam, and it's in front of you as well. The Rambam uses the language in Asalekus Medayik from the Lashon HaRambam, a Gevaldige Diuk, a very significant and very important Diuk, And it's kedai actually to see this diuk. Take a look at page 7, going on to page 8. You'll notice the Rambam mentions in Perikei Halacha Dalet. He tells you what these four tzomos are. V'aboyim me'at tzomos ha'elu harei mufurashim b'kabola. Tzom harvi, tzom ha'chamishi, tzom harvi is the shivasa b'tamuz, which is in the fourth month. Tzom ha'chamishi is Tisha B'av in the fifth month. Tzom ha'shvi is the third day of Tishrei, Chodesh ha'shvi. Tzom ha'asiri is Asar B'tevis. And then he writes the following. V'nogu in Halacha Hei. V'nogu kol yisrael b'zmanim elu lehisanos. The minig is to fast. And then the Rambam has a very bewildering and cumbersome kind of language. The minig is to fast. And then he says, almost as an afterthought, ubi yimul adar, zechel letayne sheyesana b'mehama chenema, dibriatzomos v'zad kosom. What is the nature of that postscript, of that additional factor that here we have mentioned by the Rambam? Ubi yimul ba'adar. Now, there are other texts of the Rambam that change the Nusach. If you look in the Frankel Rambam, that he changes actually the Nusach according to some. The point I'm trying to make simply that according to this text, the Rambam is in agreement with Rabbi Natan that I mentioned earlier, that Tainus Esther originates in Divrei Kabbalah and not in the later kind of institution. And the Rambam actually traces it to a specific reference in the Megillah, namely Divrei Atzomos Vizah Kosom at the end of the Megillah Esther. That's where the Rambam cites that Pasuk. But the Rambam knows that nowadays, fasting on those days, that's the sugi in Masechet Shoshana Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says over there regarding the other Taniyos, Bizman She'ein Shalom Ve'ein Milchama, when there's no peace, but there's also no war, no persecution. So then, Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. If they want to fast, you can do so. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to fast. Based on this, the Rambam suggests that here on the 13th day of Adar, he writes that this is based on Minog, Vinogu. And as I mentioned, the Rambam disagrees with Rabbi Natan with respect to which fast Tanis Esther commemorates. The Rambam maintained that Tanis Esther was instituted to replicate the fast that Esther observed prior to entering the throne room of Ahasuerus, rather than the fast which Klal Yisrael observed during their battle to enemies on the 14th day of Adar, as espoused by Rabbi Natan. And in effect, we mentioned this already earlier in this fundamental machlokes and the Rambam, but fascinating, the Rambam's language over here, that the Rambam used the word vinagu, and that's very troublesome, because in reference to the other Taniyos, the Rambam that I just mentioned, Pir Shemeshnayis Rosh Hashanah, writes, Bizman she'ein shalom ve'ein milchama, if there's no peace, there's also no war, Rotsu misanin, Rotsu ein misanin. If they want to fast, they can do so. If they don't want to fast, they don't have to do so. And here, the Lashon HaRambam is, vinagu kol yisrael bizmanim elu lisano. Secondly, why does the Rambam, when he formulates it, he writes a strange formulation. Vinogu kol yisrael bizmanim elo. Rambam should have said biyomim elo. Why does he use the language of bizmanim elo, the minhag of Klal Yisrael during these manim, as opposed to biyomim? Thirdly, the construction of the sentence is perplexing. The Rambam should have reversed it. He should have written vinogu kol yisrael lihisanos bizmanim elo. The verb lihisanos should precede the object of bizmanim elo. And as the Rambam writes, he writes, "Vinogu kol yisrael bizmanim elu lisanos." Why does the object precede the verb? So Rav Zalman of Alojin, the brother of Rav Chaim Alojin, and that's quoted by the Frankel Rambam. He quotes another text, and their text is, "Vinogu kol yisrael bizmanim elu lisanos biyadgimel ba'adar." They delete the letter vav at the beginning of the word ubiyadgimel, so that it reads, "Vinogu kol yisrael bizmanim elu lisanos." And those fasting on Tanis Esther is not obligatory, but was introduced as a minog towards the end of the Tkufas HaGa'inim in the 10th century. So the ruling of the Rambam is only limited to Tanis Esther. It doesn't apply to the other fast days. The other fast days, as the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos, are obligatory, are a chiyuv. And that's the imitation which seemingly is accepted by the Frankel edition of the Rambam as well, and corroborated by many manuscripts. And those fasting on Tanis Esther is a minog HaGa'inim. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk at the end of the Megillah, "Divrei Atzoimis v'Zakosom," as the origin of Tanis Esther. The Rambam interprets that entire pasuk as referring to Tanis Esther and explains that that pasuk confirms that Tanis Esther was accepted by Klal Yisrael at that time. And the Rambam stresses the halachic basis for observing Tanis Esther. He doesn't quote that original passage, namely Esther Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim Mitzum Alai Shoshish Yomim. That latter pasuk simply relates a historical occurrence, has no halachic consequence. And the Rambam is trying to indicate that the fast had to be ordained and accepted. And that's where the Rambam quotes this pasuk at the end of the Megillah, that ki the Klal Yisrael mekayim Purim, kasher kimo al nafsho bi'azarim divrei hatzomos bizakosam. And there's a lot of discussion on this pasuk. As I mentioned earlier, one has to look actually in the Parshoni Amikra. Look carefully. One has to examine the trump that's also found over here. And this needs a lot of careful examination. I just want to end by mentioning the Gemara has actually a number of requests that Esther had. Number one, that the holiday of Purim be established permanently. And that happened. Secondly, the Megillah should be incorporated in Kitzvei HaKodesh, should be canonized as part of Tanakh. And in effect, this is the final request. To reestablish the yomtiv that they had previously accepted, but it should be one which is divrei kabbalah, not just divrei sofrim. And that's what the pasuk seems to be saying. Digam lekayim divrei atzomos v'zakosam. They reestablished the yomtiv of Purim which they had previously accepted, and they also accepted the fast days in conjunction therewith. And that's why the Masechet Sofrim mentions the original institution of Tanis Esther was to fast 3 days, what's mentioned by the Mechaber on page number one, number two, corresponding to the fast of Esther that lasted for 3 days. And that's why the verse refers to Tzomos, Lashon Rabbit, in the plural. Not our practice is only to fast 1 day. So, in effect, we have the fast of Tanis Esther, and that fast, in effect, is a juxtaposed dafka to the Yom Tov of Purim. It's connected to the Yom Tov of Purim. All the kulas that we mentioned regarding Tanis Esther that don't apply to all the other Taniyos that are Taniyos of calamity, of Tzara, of Peronus. And this obviously is of a totally different nature, the nature of this Tanis. Anyway, the whole idea, of course, of Purim should be an opportunity where, as the Rambam writes, that one should be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Matanos Avyonim, even more so than the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Of course, we know that in general, that the whole idea of a tainus is to bring us closer to Hashem Yisbarach. Every tainus has actually that function, but Tanis Esther is markedly different because Tanis Esther, in effect, it has in it this element of simcha. One more matter we'll just mention. Whenever Purim coincides with Sunday, so the question is, when do we fast? Do we fast on Friday? Or do we fast on Thursday? So the Chachmin Provence, they fasted on Friday. When the Ramban actually died in Barcelona, his Talmidim dispersed and a group of them came to Provence. And that year, Purim occurred on Sunday. They fasted on Thursday, unlike the Chachmei Provence, who fasted on Friday. And the Chachmei Provence reasoned that since Friday is eligible for fasting, as in the case of Aser B'Teves, we can also have Tanis Esther on Friday as well. So the fast should be advanced to the earliest possible day. Why did the Ramban maintain that Tanis should be advanced to Thursday? And the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. The Rambam writes over here, in Parakei Hilchos Taniyos, Halacha Beis, Chol Yos Yigimu B'Shabbos, Magdim Mesanim B'Yom Chamishi, Shir Yud Aleph Adar. Question, why did the Rambam find it necessary to qualify that the Thursday on which the fast is observed is the 11th day of Adar? So apparently the Rambam was anticipating this ancient controversy concerning which day the fast should be advanced and stressed that it's observed on Thursday, even though Thursday is only the 11th day of Adar, 3 days away from Purim. And the question, of course, is what's this machlokes? What's the nature of this argument between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Chachmei Provence? And this needs also a lot of analysis. But again, we know that Purim overall is markedly different than the other Yom Tovim. That's what the Briska of, and the Chaim Briska, and our Salmechi is to point out as well that the chiluk between Purim and other days of Yom Tov, as I noted earlier, the other days of Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, Chazal Sein Simcha, Labasa V'yayin, but the day is divided into two, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Lachem. But Purim is a day we have to physically become involved in the tremendous Simcha, and to a certain extent, Nichtas Yayin Yatzah Sod, hopefully it's Sod Hashem L'Yireyav, as opposed to other kinds of Sodos that leave one to be desired. Those are the Sodos that we should be cultivating and nurturing and disciplining ourselves to come to that. Alavai, we should be Zocheh, that La Yehudim Ha'isa'ayu V'simcha V'sasim Bikar came to Yalona.
Shukach.